Hi everyone, so this is the second voice note on the cognitive explanations of offending. The previous one was on Kohlberg's stage theory, the morality, and this one's on cognitive distortions. So there are two different sub-theories here, hostile attribution bias and minimalization. So you do need to know both. And just to think about what cognitive distortions means, again, cognition is the way we process, interpret, think about the world. And if that's distorted, then that suggests there's something going wrong. And more specifically, we're talking about an error or a bias in the way offenders are interpreting the world. And hostile attribution bias, first of all, if we break that down, it's a bias in the way that we're interpreting. We've talked about cognitive bias before. Maybe if you think about in phobias, we talked about sort of a selective attention bias, focusing on the stimulus, the phobic stimulus. In depression, we talked about negative bias. So this is a bias, a particular focus or heightened attention on something that we're attributing, we're sort of attaching or explaining through being hostile, okay? So we think about hostile, that's sort of a negative interpretation of other behaviour. If we deem something to be hostile, we think that there may be some sort of, almost attacking or sort of purposefully negative behaviour or action towards us. So a lot of the time, offenders have been found to misinterpret the actions of others and often interpret them in a hostile way when non-offenders would not interpret those acts or behaviours as being hostile. So the research suggests there's a relationship here. I'm going to come back to that because, again, it's only showing us a relationship from what you know, as previously discussed. There's a real issue around causation in the cognitive approach. So the suggestion here is that offenders are misinterpreting, misreading acts as being hostile when they're not. So we often associate this with aggressive behaviour. So we'd associate something as being an act of aggression from another person when actually it was not intended that way. And there's some research there which you can include in the AO1 because, as I said, it's really just this theory has come out of this found relationship. And they've used a lot of studies where they've shown images of faces to offenders, different facial expressions, and they range from sort of being neutral, well, neutral in the middle, to being quite pleasant, and the other side then being aggressive. So there's multiple images there on a scale, one end being quite an aggressive facial expression, the other end being quite pleasant. And they found that offenders, in comparison to non-offenders, would interpret quite ambiguous facial expressions, so quite neutral facial expressions, as being hostile or showing anger, whereas non-offenders would have interpreted those as being neutral. So they were much quicker at interpreting a facial expression to be aggressive or hostile than non-offenders, which suggests something different is going on then with the way that they are interpreting. And then in terms of the AO3, there's research support again by Crick and Dodge, who again found a relationship between the way that children and adolescents interpret and found a hostile attribution bias in those. They gave them hypothetical situations in this study instead of actual scenarios. So kind of like, what would you do if, or how would you feel if? So we can analyse that in terms of, again, a lot of this research is based on scenarios. It's not based on real life evidence. So initially we may challenge the validity there, because just because in the scenario they'd interpret things in that way, does that mean in real life they would do the same? and in turn would behave in a certain way as a consequence. So they found that relationship in hypothetical situations. They did also find some relationship in actual situations. So there has been research that has found in adolescents and children particularly, they do tend to interpret things in a more hostile way in real life. So that said, the second point there goes into further depth about the issues with using hypothetical situations, and by all means you can discuss that, but I think, and add this into your pack, I think discussing that overall issue of causation again in the cognitive approach, I spoke to you in a lot of depth about this in the last voice note around Kohlberg's theory. But remember, when we're talking about mental processes, in this instance it's sort of thinking, processing and judgment. We can't observe that, and it's very difficult to say that thinking process, for instance, came before the feeling or act of aggression. So a lot of this hostile attribution bias is aiming to explain aggressive acts, and I think there's a nice comparison here to be made and to bring in again the sort of biological argument that aggression is biologically driven by even genetics, but probably neural activity, and heightened or a lot of the time under arousal of the brain. So it possibly makes more sense to argue that the true cause then is biological in basis, and any faulty or misinterpretation, any faulty cognition, any cognitive distortion may be a product of that biology. So there's different ways you can discuss this. You can basically say it's very difficult to highlight cause and effect. It's difficult, near impossible, to establish the hostile attribution is the actual cause of the aggressive behaviour. And then you can further elaborate with saying it's sensical. It makes sense to argue that there's a biological basis to aggression, or the biological approach would suggest that. Therefore, we need to sort of consider both and possibly use that term cognitive neuroscience again. So in terms of how you may be assessed on this, a lot of the time you only have to discuss in an 8-marker either Kohlberg or cognitive distortion. If you're asked to do a 16-marker on this topic, you'd have to probably discuss both. So it would be discuss the cognitive explanation to offending behaviour. So you talk about both Kohlberg and cognitive distortions. But yeah, you need to know, as I said, both hostile attribution bias and minimalisation. So just going on to minimalisation. So this is more to do with, if you think about minimalise, the way that offenders are really communicating after the crime and downplaying the seriousness of their offence. So burglars, for instance, may describe themselves as trying to fend for their family and make a living, or try to deal with their drug addiction or something. Sorry to be sort of stereotypical there. But there's also examples from studies that suggest individuals who commit sexual offences are particularly prone to minimalisation. And there's a study there by, I think probably the best one is Barbary, who found that 26 convicted rapists, 54% denied they had actually committed an offence, and 40% minimised the harm that they caused to the victim. So I think that can relate to sort of rape cases and things in terms of the justification that's made after the offence. And that goes into that first AO3 point, which is that this explanation of minimalisation is quite effective at outlining how an offender may justify and view their offence after the act, but it can't really explain the actual true cause of their participation in the act. So it can describe rather than explain. And many would argue that a lot of offenders using this type of minimalization after the act are doing so to deal with almost displace or suppress feelings of guilt, or even kind of justify to the extent that they may, you know, that might be used in court, or that might minimize their sentence. So yeah, this has quite descriptive value because we're seeing these patterns in minimalization, particularly in certain offenses like sex offenses, but its ability to explain why in the first place can be challenged. And then that second point, again, sort of, it's kind of what I just said, but this idea of minimalization is therefore more appropriate for certain crimes than others. So it's a similar issue in terms of causation and its ability to explain. So as you'll see that theme, hopefully you've got that from my discussion, that the issue of causation is, there's lots to discuss there around the cognitive approach. I'd absolutely expect that to be in an evaluation question or in an essay on this topic. Lastly, another point you could do for cognitive distortions goes back to a similar discussion that we've got in the pack on page 15 for Kohlberg around practical applications. So if we know that individuals, particularly in childhood or adolescence, seem to have a hostile attribution bias or seem to be minimalising their acts, then we may be able to put interventions in place, such as anger management, which I'll talk to you about in later voice notes, that may enable these individuals to challenge their cognitive distortions and their biases and interpret things in a more rational way. Okay, so that's the cognitive approach. I'll be back shortly with a discussion around differential association theory and the psychodynamic explanations. And towards the end of this week, I'll be adding resources around dealing with offending, which is the last section of this topic. Please keep in touch with any questions about the content. And just a reminder that you do need to finish the course. So please make sure you're continuing your learning. And yeah, get in touch if you need anything.